We continue our series on David, and this morning we're looking at David, the struggling parent. And we are in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33. And it says this: "The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, I heard about this woman on a very cold day, and she sent a text to her husband that said, "Windows frozen, won't open." And so her husband sent back the text, "Pour warm water on and tap gently with a hammer." A little while later, he said, "How's it going?" And she sent back the text, "Computer not working, not responding well to recommendation, doing all kinds of crazy things." So, oh yeah. Well, sometimes what we're doing isn't working well. Of course, it depends on the context. And this morning, we look at David as the struggling parent. And I know maybe sometimes in your life, you may have felt or do feel as a parent that sometimes whatever you're doing is not working well. Fear not, you're not alone. And this morning, we look at David as a struggling parent. And that verse, by the way, is one of the most powerful and heartfelt and heartbreaking scriptures in all of Scripture. And so I invite us to walk back into the story of David, not just to experience David's moment of tragedy and the events leading up to that, but also to learn from it and to see what we can do better as parents ourselves. And so I invite you back into the story this morning. And so the story is this: David was a great warrior. David was a great king. And in at least a couple instances, David was a great friend. Last week, though, after David's meteoric rise to fame and power, we looked at David's fall and failure with his incident with Bathsheba, where he seduced and raped her. And this morning, we look at the other failure of David, which was large, which was he struggled as a parent. And I suppose in our own lives, sometimes we have some blind spots as parent because of our own weaknesses, and perhaps that was the case with David. And so the story is in Scripture, if you look at the Scriptures leading up to this, that one of David's sons by the name of Amnon took a liking to his half-sister, and he became obsessed with her, so much so that he tricked her into coming into his room and then raped her. And it's horrific. David did nothing. Nothing. He didn't call him in. He didn't call him on the carpet. And so he did nothing. Now, maybe that was because of David's own blind spot with that weakness, but that's inexcusable. David's other son, by the name of Absalom, which you may have all heard about Absalom, Absalom was enraged by this incident, and rightfully so. But Absalom, after David did nothing, took the matter into his own hands and tricked Amnon into an area and killed Amnon, his brother. Then David again did nothing to Absalom. And so Absalom went to another part of the city and kingdom, and in his own rebellious ways began to do different things to undercut David's kingdom, his authority, and his power. And he could do it pretty well, because if you've heard about Absalom, Absalom was sort of a Brad Pitt good-looking guy. And in fact, the Scripture even tells how much his hair weighed, because he had long, flowing hair. So for you women out there that like romance novels, Absalom is your guy, okay, with the long flowing hair and the physique and all that. And I guess some men like romance novels too. But anyway, this guy was good looking, very charismatic. And he used to sit at the gate, and he would tell people who were disgruntled with the way David was handling things. He said, "You know what? If I was king, things would be different. I'd settle your case." And he began to foment this rebellion in the kingdom. And at one point, he went to another place. Once again, David did nothing. He went to another place, and all the disgruntled people and even the warriors began to gather around Absalom. And then at one point it was so bad, the threat was so great, that everybody had to flee the city. And David, to his credit, as people were fleeing the city, David didn't go first. David stayed at the gate, and he made sure all the women and children of the weak were out. But that was about all that he did right that day. And then at another point, Joab the general comes to David, and David tells Joab the general, who's going to go after Absalom in this rebellion that threatens the entire kingdom. And he says, deal mercifully with the young man. And he says that a couple of times. And Joab goes out, and Absalom, in the middle of his riding a mule in battle, has this long flowing hair, and we're told it was caught in a tree. And he's hanging there, and then Joab comes, and he kills him. And then this news comes to David, and David is heartbroken to hear of his son. And I just want to read it again because it is so piercing. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. What can we learn from this as parents, maybe as grandparents too, to prevent our own families in this situation and just to be better parents? And I think the first thing is just overall is that actions speak louder than words. And in a powerful way, in a number of incidents, it's so critical because, first of all, David was a workaholic. He was a great warrior. He was a great king. It requires a lot of time. But his focus was on those things rather than on his family. Now, it wasn't that he needed to neglect his kingdom, but you always have time to be a parent, no matter what you're doing. And if you don't, then you need to change things so that you do. David was a classic workaholic, and therefore he was absent from the home. And the second thing is David had his blind spot. He had raped Bathsheba. And when his son Ammon rapes his half-sister Tamar, perhaps David just didn't even want to deal with it because he knew that Ammon would come back and point the finger at David. And so he did nothing again. He was inactive as well as absent. And then Absalom took justice into his own hand and killed his brother. And once again, David did nothing. And we all have some blind spots, but, you know, folks, we need to know what our blind spots are so we can deal with that. And sometimes it's okay to go to our kids and say, hey, listen, I've had my failures too, because the kids already know, probably. But that doesn't excuse whatever it is that you're doing. This is what I've learned. David did none of that. Absalom, of course, started this rebellion. David, once again, did nothing. He let it go, and he let it go, and he let it go. And instead of practicing tough love that he could have in that moment, David let it get to the point where Absalom created a rebellion that was a threat not only to David, but to everyone in the kingdom, that Absalom would have taken their lives. And so Joab was dispersed, and Joab took matters in his own hand and killed Absalom, and David's heart was broken. I think there's hope on the horizon here. Because if you struggle as a parent, it's good to know that that there's people in the Bible that struggled as a parent too. And it's interesting because people will come to me oftentimes and say, you know, I am struggling as a parent. And it seems when I look in the Bible that all the people in the Bible are really bad parents. And they're not the best parents. I can only think of a few, you know, Mary and Joseph, of course, being some. But you don't have a lot of great parents highlighted. They have all these family problems. And so we can get real with the issues of the day. But I always come back to one thing, and I say, you know, there's a whole book in the Bible that's dedicated to parenting. And they say, oh, what book is that? And I say, the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Over and over and over repeatedly in the book of Proverbs, it says, listen, my son, listen, my daughter. And that wisdom was gathered together by David's other son, Solomon. Maybe Solomon looked around and he saw all the heartache and hardship and brokenness of his family, his parents, his life, and learn from that and put together some wisdom for us. Now, if you think it's 1, 2, 3 steps, you find it's not the case. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says it's day by day, step by step. Parenting is a journey, just as life is a journey. And so you have to share the wisdom along the way, and so it takes time to do that. And so looking at David's life and the book of Proverbs, which, by the way, I want to highlight that Proverbs 22:6, that says this, "Train up a child in the way in which they should go, and when they were old, they will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way in which they should go. By the way, that word train is where we get pediatrics from, pedia, a child, and caring for them. And so Solomon has this wisdom that he's learned from David's pain. And for all of us, I think one thing is to be present at home, to be present. And many of us, when we're at work, we're thinking about home. When we're at home, we're thinking about work. But when we're at home, to be really present there. To be present with our kids when they have problems, to be present with our kids when they have joys and celebration, to be present with them there. Now, we can't spend all of our time there, but we can spend quality time with them, and that time matters so much. And then to take action when action needs to be taken. Now, I'm not going to tell you what kind of discipline to mete out to your kids, but every home and every person, every family needs boundaries. And when the boundaries are violated, when things are violated, there needs to be some kind of consequences. And so what is that? And if we don't intervene early, then the misappropriate actions will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, the boundaries will be that of law enforcement or what have you. And none of us want that. We can't be perfect as parents, but we can enforce some boundaries in our family and talk to our kids about that and encourage them. We all want to practice forgiveness, but there's that tough love that Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians, right? Speaking the truth in love. To speak the truth in love. To offer grace and forgiveness, but have boundaries that matter for us and to reach out to them. How are you doing as a parent today? I invite you to think about that. Not other people, not other members of the family, but you yourself. And if your kids are grown, as a matter of fact, David's kids were grown, it's not too late. It's never too late. When you look at this moment in time, the grief and the heartache of David are overwhelming. I don't know if you've ever, if you're a classical music person, then maybe you've heard the piece "When David Heard" by Eric Whitaker. It's a very long, plaintive, heart-wrenching piece of music that's just about this moment in David's life when he hears the news about his son, when David was completely crushed and broken. And it brings that to mind. And I also think about, if you're not a classical music person, then maybe you're more of a contemporary, I'm not going to say it's contemporary, it's sort of 70s, I guess, there. Any people remember Harry Chapin and Cats in the Cradle? Yeah, I show my age here. But the message of that song, I think, is so important. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but I do want to read a few lines from it about this dad with a child, and it's called Cats in the Cradle. "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you.'" Cats in the Cradle, you know how it goes. And then after a number of verses, it comes to this heartfelt, breaking verse that says this: "I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, 'I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kid had flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you.' And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me." Well, for all of us, now's the time. It's never too late to reach out, to pick up the phone if they're grown, if they're young, to sit down with them and say, "Hey, where are you going with at school right now? You know, the struggles are immense in school right now for our kids, so many other things, and of course the pandemic layered on top of that. You don't have to have all the answers. Just say, let's talk about it. So let's go get ice cream. Let's share a little bit of time. If they do something wrong, then early say, hey, you know, we got to do something here. This is to help you do the right thing, not to punish you, okay? Because I want what's best for you. I want you to grow up as a young man or young woman with an integrity that's got a place in our society that touches people's lives in a great way. I want what's best for you. There's something that's subtle in this story that you may not realize that I want to highlight for a moment. And that's this. That in the scriptures leading up to this moment in David's life, David refers to Absalom a number of times as the young man. Go easy on the young man. See that nothing happens to the young man. And it's only when David hears the news that his son is killed that he says, my son, my son, my son Absalom. There is the place that he uses his name. There's where he calls him, my son. And for all of us to realize that if your kid has done something and you want to disown them and not call them son or your daughter, I encourage you to reach out to them before it's too late and call them your son or your daughter and call them by name. That is something you can take away from the story of David. In this moment in time, as a struggling parent, to be engaged with your kids, to take time with your kids. Don't be absent. Be engaged. Use tough love when it's time and when it's necessary. But if you do that, everything may not be perfect, but I can promise you by God's word that it will be better for you. And even more importantly, it will be better for them. There's a story of this 19th century politician by the name of Charles Adams. And he writes in his diary, one day he's a politician, and he writes, went fishing with my son today. Big waste of time. His son, by the name of Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, and the very same day wrote these words, went fishing with my dad today, best day of my life. Friends today, parents, moms, dads, whether your kids are little or they're grown, take the time to do the little things. Labor Day weekend is coming up. And we think about labor, which is great, working is great, but it's also time to take time with your family, quality time. And I challenge and I encourage us to do exactly that. And for those in this moment who think about the loss of a son or daughter that you've had, or lost years that you have, realize this, that in a completely different circumstance, years and years from this moment, God himself will send a son to share our hurt and our brokenness to human parents. And God himself will know what it's like to lose a son in different circumstances, but with just as much pain. And in that moment, offer us forgiveness and grace and healing. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this moment in David's life where he struggled as a parent, we realize that so many of us also have moments when we struggle as a parent. So help us to learn from David. Help us to learn the wisdom of Solomon. Help us to learn the love of you. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said,